Good to see everyone here this evening. New look this evening in the book of Numbers. If you go through the Old Testament, you have, of course, Genesis, the beginnings of everything, and then Exodus, the people of Israel come out of the Egyptian slavery, and then Leviticus talks about and gives the instructions to the priests and the tribe of the priests on the law. The Numbers gives a lot of the things we read about during the wilderness wandering and all of that 40-year period from the time they came out of Egyptian bondage and slavery till they came to the promised land. In Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30, and after Moses had chosen 12 spies, one out of each tribe of Israel, to go in and spy out the land for them. And in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30, when they all came back, and there is a problem with that because 10 of the spies brought a bad report. But Numbers 13:30 says, "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it.'" If you look at the background, they had been delivered from 400 years of Egyptian slavery. And so now they had come out of the land. They came to Mount Sinai. God gave them the law. And they were there at Mount Sinai approximately a year's time. And then they began to move north towards what would be the promised land. The beginning of their journey is in Numbers chapter 10. And then they finally get there. They come to a place called Kadesh Barnea. And it's from there, south of the land of Canaan, as it was known then. And that's where Moses chose 12 to go in and spy out the land. Well, God commanded Moses to send those spies in, and they went. And so we might look at this and think, well, okay, we know what happened, but what's this mean to you and me? Well, Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, Paul there says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope." So there is a patience and a comfort of the Scriptures and a hope that comes in studying the things that God reveals to us here in the book of Numbers, which we're going to look at a little bit this evening. Now turn to Numbers chapter 13, chapter 13, beginning at verse 17. And he talks about the different ones from the different tribes, one from each of the tribes of Israel, to go and spy out the land. And verse 13 says, "Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, 'Go up this way into the south and up, go up into the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, are few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are forests or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land.' Now the time was in the season of the first ripe grapes." So this is the command God gave through Moses to the spies. Go into the land, look and see what's there. A report on what the people were and what it was like, what the land was like, and if the people were weak or strong, and if the land was good or not. And so that's what would normally be done for those who came in to spy out the land. And so we think about that, there would be what kind of the application would be for us. So we have to, in a sense, look at our land and spy out our land every day to find those who might be willing to hear the message of the Word of God and believe it. And so we're like the spies in a land that is alien to us. We have to, even though we live here, there are people who are out there that need to hear the Word of God, and maybe they're looking, and we need to find them. And so we, we in that sense, are in a way like them. Excuse me a moment. In Luke chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus in the parable there of the feast that the king had given, and he invited people to come to it, and they all made excuses. And then he told his servants, go into the highways and hedges and constrain them to come in, that my house may be filled. So, in a sense, he was sending them out to bring anybody in who was willing to hear and believe. And in the parable, of course, to take part in the feast that the king had given for his people. But Moses, when he sent them out, he said to them to be of good courage and bring some fruit of the land. And so we look at that and realize there were 12 spies that went. Well, 10 of these spies have brought back an evil report. Now, it was not necessarily because they were cowards. Now, maybe we think about it that way sometimes, but in fact, it took a great deal of courage to be one of those spies. They had to go into the land, and the way most nations were at the time, if you were caught in an alien land and you were proved to be a spy, you'd probably be put to death. And so it did take courage for them to do that. And at first they had that, but they did not rely upon God as Joshua and Caleb did. They relied on their own strength and cunning and whatever else it might have been. So they had courage to start with, but it didn't last because it was not centered upon God and upon God's will. And so we look at that and we think about them being cowards, but we have to realize that we have a responsibility too, because we are God's people to live and to serve and to set an example and to teach wherever we can and whenever we can. And so we need to take a lesson from Joshua and Caleb, because they were courageous not only in going into the land to spy it out, but to bring back the message that we can do this not because we're great, not because we're powerful, but because God is going to give this to us. Well, when God gives us command, Jesus, the Great Commission, said, go and preach the gospel. He says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So we have a responsibility and the privilege to live and to teach and to serve the way that God wants us to do. And when we have the courage to do that, then God's going to bless us. Now turn back then to Numbers 13, verse 21. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob and the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron and Ahiman and Sheshai and Talmai, and the descendants of Anak were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And then they came to the valley of Eshcol. There they cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. And the place was called the Valley of Eshcol, because the cluster which the men of Israel had cut down there. It says, so they went up. So in spite of fear and anxiety, which probably was part of this, even though they were courageous in doing this, what did they find? Well, they found a land that was very fertile, a land that they brought back grapes and pomegranates and figs and all of these other things. And as it describes, one cluster of grapes was so big they had to put it on a pole in between them and carry it that way. So they saw that the land was physically blessed if they would go and take it. And the courage, of course, was to do, required what God said, and to place their faith in Him, but that's not what they did. So we have to be willing to enter our land and living a Christian life in service to others and service to our family and teaching and leading as best that we can. Well, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, the Bible tells us there that our labor in Christ, our labor is not in vain in the Lord. In other words, whatever we do for the Lord's work, in our service every day to the community around us, our labor is not in vain. God remembers, and He will remember, and He will bless us for it. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now, God didn't tell us to go out and convert the world. He told us to go out and spread the word and spread the message by our life, by our example, by our teaching. And so Paul said, I planted. So in other words, he started, for example, the church in Corinth. And then Apollos came along later and worked on that and began to build it up. But he says, but God's the one that gave the increase. And that was one of the problems here of the 10 spies, is they didn't understand that they simply would bring back the message and God would take care of the rest if they would obey what he commanded. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, it says there to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. Well, they weren't willing to hold on to the fight of faith to the end. Joshua and Caleb were, but they were not. So we look at Numbers chapter 13 and verse 25. It says, they returned from the spying out of the land after 40 days. Normally, when I read this, I kind of think, well, they just ran in the land, came back a couple of days later. Well, they were there 40 days. In other words, they were able to go all through the land and spy it out and bring it back a report. Verse 26, now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran. And at Kadesh, they brought back the word to them, to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, we went into this land where you sent us, and it truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. So they went into the land, and we're going to bring the message back, that this is the fruit of the land. It's wonderful. It's great. Verse 28, he says, nevertheless, and that's part of the problem sometimes, in our ways of doing the Lord's work, we kind of tend to look at the problems that it causes rather than the opportunity. I said, nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Now, if you go on down to verse 33, the descendants of Anak were considered to be giants. They are a very large people. And if you read a little bit later, of course, you'll find that that Goliath, for example, was a descendant of the people of Anak later on in the time of David. And so it says they are descendants of Anak. Verse 29, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, along by the banks of the Jordan. So this is how they viewed it, that we can't go and take the land, that the people there, we're like, you know, we're not very strong or powerful like they are. And if you read on down, it says we were like grasshoppers in their sight and in our sight. In other words, they compared themselves to the size of the giants in the land rather than God who was being with them. And so they brought back that land, that message, the land is flowing with milk and honey, and it's wonderful. And yet, we can't take the land because we're not able to do it. It says, verse 28, nevertheless, the people who dwell in land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak, and of course, the Amalekites and all of these others that were their enemies. And everything that was there before them, they seemed to be small and not very able to devour them, to overcome them, but they would be devoured by them. In fact, in verse 32, it says they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw giants. Descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we are like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we are in their sight. Notice, they didn't just say, they look like giants to us. He said, we're like grasshoppers in their sight and in our sight. Well, they didn't even think about what God would do for them. They were afraid that as soon as they saw who the people were and the walled cities and the armies that they had, they said, we can't do it. The 10 spies came back and said that. But we look at that and realize There's other places where people feared and did things. And we look in Matthew chapter 14, for example, and there was a storm on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus came walking at night on the water. And Peter cried out to him, says, "Lord, let me come out and walk on the water with you." And Jesus says, come on out. So he stepped out of the boat and began to walk on water. And of course, the Bible says when he began to look around and see the effects of the wind and the storm, then he became afraid and began to sink. And he had to call out to Jesus to save him. But as long as his eyes and mind was on the Lord, he was able to miraculously walk on water as Jesus did. Now, sometimes we tend to look around and think, well, you know, I'm not very much, and I can't do very much, and I can't set much of an example, and I can't really teach very well. But we have to find what we're able to do. And when we do that, God's going to bless us for it if we'll do the best that we can. The Apostle Paul probably suffered more in persecution than anybody of his time. And yet in Romans 1:16, he said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." You know, not Paul the man. In fact, many times he said he was a sinner, the chief of sinners, and he didn't deserve the blessing that he received. And he said, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." So we have to look at the power of God, that he will be willing to help if we will be faithful to him and follow the things he has commanded. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 9, it says, "There be not afraid, but speak and hold not your peace, for I am with you." That was God speaking to the Apostle Paul when he went to Corinth. And it was a daunting task to go to a city like Corinth. It was one of the largest in the Roman Empire. It was also one of the most immoral and idolatrous cities of the Roman Empire. And Paul might have walked through there and thought, There's nothing here that I can do. I might as well just go on. But God said to him, you know, "Don't be afraid. Speak. Don't hold your peace, because I'm with you." In fact, God told Paul in that, he says, "I have many in this city." And of course, Paul maybe had not seen them yet because he hadn't preached the gospel to them. But he was very successful there and established the church at Corinth. So we go back to Numbers 13. Numbers 13 and verse 30. Again, it says, "Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it.'" Now notice the difference in the two. You know, we're like grasshoppers in their sight, and in our sight too, we're like grasshoppers before them. But Caleb said, "Let's go up and take the land. We're well able to overcome it." Well, he wasn't talking about how great he was. He wasn't bragging about his military power or anything like that. He was saying, if we go, God will give it to us. In fact, God had already promised them, "This is the land that I have given to you." God looked upon it as being an accomplished fact. Well, they still had to do what God said. In verse 31, it says, "But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw are men of great stature. They saw the giants, descendants of Anak, came from the giants. And they were like grasshoppers in their own sight, and we were in our sight.'" So that's the report they gave. But Caleb said, "Let us go up at once and possess the land." In other words, God is with us, and he will give it to us right now. We have to have the kind of faith and take the example of people like Caleb and Joshua, who brought back the good report. And in Romans 8 and verse 31, it says, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" Well, the question answers itself. No one. No one could be against us if God is for us. In Matthew chapter 7, Sermon on the Mount, verse 7, Jesus said, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you." And so Jesus promised to be with us if we do his work, if we live a Christian life, set a faithful example as best we can, and to teach others as we have opportunity and the privilege of doing so. But the report of the 10 that came back says, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. Well, how did they know? First of all, they hadn't even fought them yet, and so they could not possibly know the truth of that. They, in a sense, as someone said, they were defeated without firing a shot. They gave up before there was even a battle. But God wanted them to understand, if you'll go, I will take care of you. Now, we know that that's true because if you would, turn over to Joshua chapter 2. We know how the people of the land of Canaan looked at the Israelites because we're told in Joshua chapter 2, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, and all of that generation over 20 years of age died in the wilderness, they came finally when Moses died and Joshua took over. Well, he sent two spies, and I always thought it was interesting. He only sent two spies over to Jericho as opposed to 12. And so he chose them. He sent them over, and they were spying out the city of Jericho. And they came to the house of Rahab the harlot, and she took them in and then took care of them while they were there. And she hid them on the roof under some flax on the roof when they were being looked for. And they were going to be put to death. And her house was on the wall, part of the wall of the city, so they could escape that way. Well, notice in Joshua chapter 2 and verse 9, what Rahab said about how their people viewed the Israelites. Joshua chapter 2 and verse 9. It says there, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and we and all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you, for the Lord your God. He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now notice, that's the perspective of the Canaanite people. And of course, here Rahab the harlot told them that's what happened to the people. So you compare that and contrast it with the report of the 10 spies. They said, they're too strong. The cities are walled, and they're like giants, and we can't take them. We're like grasshoppers. Well, Rahab said, once we heard what God had done for you, our hearts melted. In other words, we knew that we were going to lose this battle, that there was no way that we could stand against your God. And so God was there for them all the time. All they would have had to do is go into the land. But the problem was, of course, once they made that decision, God was not going to let them do that. So we have to be willing to do whatever we can, take the opportunities that we are given to teach and to live and to serve in whatever way that we can. Well, what were the results of the spies' report? Well, obviously, the people, by and large, there are probably some exceptions, but by and large, they believed the 10 spies. And they rebelled against God. They rebelled against Moses' leadership. And God was going to refuse to let them enter to the promise. And turn over to chapter 14 of Numbers. Chapter 14, verse 28 says, this is God speaking to them through Moses. He says, the carcasses of you have... you who have complained against me shall fall in the wilderness. And all of you who are numbered, according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. But your little ones, whom you said would be victims, I will bring it, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness. And so God says, one of the things they used as an excuse for not going in, well, all of our children will be destroyed. They'll be killed. God says, these children that you've used as an excuse for not going in the land, they will go in, but you will not. You're going to die in the wilderness. And, of course, Joshua and Caleb trusted in God. And, of course, they were willing to go, even though they probably were fearful also. Joshua and Caleb trusted in God, and we need to do the same. They provide an example for us, and again, back in verse 28, God says, as I live, you have spoken against me, you're not going to go into the promised land. And they didn't. But Joshua and Caleb were allowed to do so. And they did exactly as God wanted them. And Joshua, Numbers chapter 14 and verse 6 says, but Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread, and their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear. And of course, the people wanted to stone them to death. But again, like I mentioned before, you go back to what Rahab the harlot said. She said, once we heard what God did for you, that he parted the Red Sea and he gave you the law and he destroyed all the people that were against you before. She said, our hearts melted and we knew that God was going to deliver us into your hand. And that's exactly what happened. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, Jesus said, if any would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Well, that's what we have to do every day. Joshua and Caleb set the example. Now, they feared, just like everybody else did probably, but they went and did what God commanded because their faith overcame the fear of doing what was right and serving God. Well, we have to do the same and take the same example. Now, this evening, if you have a need in your life to respond to the Lord's invitation, that invitation is open to us as it is every day of life. And if you need to come, I want you to do so while we stand and while we sing.